In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, several times during Advent last, we meditated on the circumstances which will accompany the last coming of Christ our Lord. And in a few days, the same great teachings will again be brought before us, filling our souls with a salutary fear. May we then be permitted, on this last Sunday of the liturgical year, to turn our eyes to our adorable Lord and King, the solemn honor whose judgment is to be the consummation of his work and the signal of his triumph. On the last day, the whole world who is fighting on his side against the wicked will at last be avenged from that slavery of sin which had been forced upon it. And vainly will the wicked souls cry out to the rocks to fall upon them and hide them from the face of him who will then be seated on his throne. But the abyss will refuse to engulf them in obedience to him who holds the keys of death and hell. It will give forth every last wretched victim and set them at the foot of the dreaded tribunal. The power of Christ will then appear in all its grandeur and magnificence. The heavenly armies will also be standing around Christ, forming a brilliant court and assembling the elect from the four quarters of the earth. And the souls of the elect who had become his members by becoming the members of his beloved church will be there on that day. Their place, the just souls, will be the one reserved for his bride, where, seated, they shall judge the very angels. The trumpet of the archangel, which will ring through the graves of the just, will be a summons calling them not to death, but to life, and to the sight of the old enemies, destruction, to a redemption which will include their very bodies, the unimpeded Passover to the true land of promise. What a joy will be for them that have, by faith, lived in Christ and loved him without seeing him, identifying themselves with Christ despite the weakness of the flesh. They will have continued here below his life of suffering and humiliation. What a triumph when delivered forever from sin, invested in immortal bodies. They shall be carried before the face of his glory. But their greatest joy on that day will be to witness the glorification of their most dear Lord, Jesus Christ, by the manifestation of the power which was given him over all flesh. It will be then that, crushing the heads of kings and making his enemies finally his footstool, he will be shown before all as the ruler of all nations. It will be then that heaven, earth, and hell will bow their knee before the Son of Man who first appeared on earth as a slave and who was judged and condemned and put to death between two thieves. It will be then that our Lord will judge the unjust judges. It will be the perfect accomplishment of that most sublime prayer, "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is the time, therefore, to beseech our Lord to detach us more and more from this world, which is passing away with its vain toils, its false glories, and its lying pleasures. It was Christ's own foretelling that, as in the days of Noah and Sodom, men would go on with their feasting and their business and their amusements without giving any more thought to the approaching coming of Christ than their forefathers heeded the threat of the great flood, or the fire which came upon them and destroyed them. Let these men go on with their merrymaking, sending gifts to one another, as the book of Apocalypse expresses it, because, so they believe, Christ and his church are worn out ideals. While they are tyrannizing the Holy Church in a thousand varied ways and persecuting her as no past period had ever done, they little think that all this is an announcement of the return of Christ, which is near at hand. Our Lady warned us that this day would come, however. In 1846, on the 19th day of the month of September, when she appeared to the shepherd children of La Salette, she foretold that war and blood will flow on all sides, that churches will be closed or desecrated. She said that priests and religious will be chased out, that they will be put to cruel deaths, and many of these priests and bishops will abandon the faith. And the number of priests and religious who will separate from the true religion will be great, and among them there will be bishops. In such times, it is not surprising. Again, it is not surprising to see faithful bishops persecuted and removed from office. Saint Athanasius carried this cross. So did Saint John Fisher and others. But the Holy Ghost remains in the church despite the external appearances, and he continues to sanctify and enliven her. The church's divine element remains untouched. Our Lady went on to foretell that the earth would be struck with all kinds of plagues, and that there will be wars until the last war, which will then be waged by the 10 kings of the Antichrist. She also told the shepherd children that before this happens, there will be a kind of false peace all over the world. People will only think about having fun and amusements and lives of ease, and that the wicked would commit all kinds of sin, but that the children of the Holy Church, the children of faith, Mary's true imitators, these will grow in the love of God and in the virtues which are most dear to her. And I hope you will permit me this Sunday, dear faithful, to say that I am so very edified by your example. You come here week after week after week at an hour of the day when others are either still asleep or just sitting down to lunch, or in some cases both. And you come even when your cars are broken into, when your cars are stolen. I've had my catalytic converter stolen twice, and you have too, and you're still here. You do so in order to give adoration to the Lord of Lords in the immemorial liturgy of the traditional Latin rite, because you're compelled to give God your best. So do not suffer a devotion of such intensity to be found wanting in the face of the trials willed for it by God. We live in an age so easily given to discouragement. Why this reaction to adversity on our part? Who among you really honestly wants an easy life, a life devoid of struggle, of combat? Do you not realize that you are walking in the footsteps of your ancestors who were thrown to the teeth of roaring lions for refusing to deny the faith? Our enemies treat us in this way with persecution because they have no alternative. They've run out of ideas. Their godless philosophies offer nothing more desirable than the freedom to live as children of God, which our Lord brought upon this earth, his gift to us. So in the face of persecution, let us rather give thanks that we live in a time in which it is no longer an option for any of us to remain lukewarm or mediocre. All these trials are the fresh jewels which the bride of Christ will have on her when she appears before the bridegroom. The blood of her last martyrs was to cover her already splendid robes with all the richness of royal crimson, color of blood. As for us, let us lend an ear to the echoes of our home above and from the throne of our God. We hear going forth from the voice heard by St. John, "Give praise unto our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, little and great. Alleluia. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, hath reigned. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give glory unto him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride hath prepared herself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.